You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, the number one Chevrolet dealer in Canada since 2015, based on Dealer Raider's customer review site. Stop in, say hi. Right now, 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles. That's Lakewood Chev. Inside the Stripes, football edition, Bud Steen, 30 years, CFL official. Now, he oversees it. Evaluator. Joining us, Steiner, how you doing?
You know, it's a great Tuesday here in Edmonton, and looks like we might get a little precipitation a little later, but it was a wonderful day. Spent it on the golf course, out at Eskimo practice this morning. Been a busy time.
Now, I want to go back to the Winnipeg-Toronto game, and I know everybody's talking more so about the blown call on the punt return, which I think you would agree was a missed call. Missed call is the wrong word. It was a unnecessary flag. It's probably the better word to use. But the Ricky Ray hits in that game, and you and I have talked a lot about over the years. I've learned and I watched as a guy who was a referee for many years. Yep. And you've always told me your responsibility as the referee is the quarterback. So when the quarterback's getting crushed, I'm like, how, if he's getting hit in the head, how is the referee missing it?
Positioning.
So when his position is wrong, and I've watched the video many times, because Ricky Ray ran up in the pocket and the referee moved, because he was behind Ricky Ray, he moved to the left, got outside the pocket when he should have moved to the right inside to have a better lane. Is that correct?
Yeah, what we would prefer would be for the referee to follow him up inside the pocket, so to speak. He doesn't have to get in there and get crunched, but there's a natural hole as the quarterback moves forward in the pocket. We would prefer to have the ref just follow him up in behind, and then you're going to see you'll have a much clearer vision of what's going on with the quarterback. And the last play, you know, I think it was like the second last play of the ball game, Ray moves up and he actually trips. He gets his foot caught up on one of his lineman's legs, and so he's falling forward as he throws the football, and lowering the proverbial strike zone. We talk about that quite a bit. He's coming down, and then
Guy basically left in a spearing motion, like left his feet spearing at him. To me,
he didn't spear him, but he certainly threw his shoulder into the side of his head.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a pretty hard hit.
So now, if the referee misses that, is there anyone else on the field who can throw a flag? Is any other official allowed to throw a flag on that play?
It is very uncommon for anyone else to call roughing the passer. It is not impossible. If it were completely open to the umpire, he may call it. On this particular play, because we don't have the umpire moving like we would recommend the referee to move, so the umpire was completely blocked out as well with all of the bodies around. He wouldn't have seen it, but yeah, you could see it on a very, very rare occasion from the umpire, but not likely from anyone else. It's a tough one, you know, during the game.
But they could, if they wanted to, make that call. Like, if the line judge was like, wow, that's a blatant headshot, I got to throw my flag, and I could go over to the referee.
Yes.
As somebody who was the referee.
Yes.
If you clearly missed one, wouldn't you want somebody to throw a flag?
Even, yes.
Because I don't know if the players necessarily know exactly who's supposed to throw a flag on any given play.
No. So the answer, you know, if it happened to be absolutely open to the line judge and he threw it, you know, we would say to him in the evaluation, don't make this a common event. You know, on a hit like we saw on Thursday night, it would have been nice to have some nylon on the ground.
Now, there's been a lot of people running. They've seen GoPros on players. When you guys practice officiating, have they ever done it with a GoPro on an official so he could see, so people could see what he's seeing and find out if his positioning is correct or not?
We actually did it at practice a few years ago here in Edmonton. One of the local guys brought his GoPro, and he was doing it for the purposes of creating some video for the varsity officials. And because it was the first shot at it. It didn't necessarily turn out all that well. You're probably alluding to the GoPro that Tom Vellisi wore on Saturday night in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
I in fact had to ask what the heck he had on. I mean, it looked like he was all harnessed up, and it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. I hearken back many years.
Now, what was the purpose of Vellisi wearing that?
I don't know. I don't know what that was about. TSN, I think, is just looking for a different angle.
Okay.
Different angle.
Sure.
Years ago, we had a camera on the umpire. This would have been, 20 years ago. And it was a great bulky thing. He had to carry a battery pack that weighed about 20 pounds. It was not very comfortable. It was actually impeding the umpire in his movement and doing his job. So it didn't last very long. But there were some shots there with, you know, the immediacy of the action right in front of the umpire and guys getting blown up and all of that. So I think we could produce some pretty cool pictures. But to use it for coaching purposes, you know, I'm not so sure because you're going to fasten the camera onto the official's body somewhere. And that's
not going to be what his eyes see.
Not going to be what his eyes see. And a lot of the stuff you see, you catch out of your periphery. And just because of instinct, because you see angles in that, you know what you've just seen. It may not be completely clear in your conscious mind, but you can still call it and be absolutely accurate with it. So, you know, I don't know if it would be anything other than just another added visual aspect to the television production.
Now, penalties this year are down significant, which is a good sign because just looking at the trends of the last 3 years, penalties would be up at the start of the year and then slowly creep down as the season's gone along. And I think penalties are down something like 9 or 10% already from last season. Are you expecting that then? Can we see it cut down even more?
Like, I sure hope so.
Should this trend continue and be 10% lower than every week all the way through?
Yeah, I would like to believe that. I could see us, you know, now we're kicking in around 16.5 a game, and I can see us getting down to sub-15s, maybe even to 14 range. You know, the game on Friday night here, there weren't that many penalties in it. And, you know, it was a well-executed game. The players weren't jumping offside. We didn't have a bunch of procedures and stuff like that. You know, you are going to have the occasional pass interference only because of timing. You're going to have the occasional blocking infraction on a kick play. You're going to have the occasional roughing the passer. We're not likely to see a zero flag game, but I really like where things are going because, as I've said on this show before, fans don't like flags. And, you know, we don't want to be the center of attention. We want the players to settle everything and, you know, and carry on in that fashion. So, yeah, I can see us getting down.
So now where are penalties down? Is it pre-snap penalties? Is it holding? Where's been the drop in penalties? Special teams?
There is a relatively significant reduction on special teams. There are fewer illegal blocking infractions this year. And frankly, I think it comes down to the players just playing with a little bit more control because on kicking plays, it's all about the angle of pursuit. And if the player is using his head, he will come at his opponent in the appropriate fashion so that the contact isn't coming on the back corner or on the back side. You see very few low blocks blocking below the waist on kick plays now because, again, player safety is number one with these guys. The teams harp on it from the first day of training camp. And so those are pretty much disappearing. A few less holding penalties, a reduction certainly in procedure penalties. We are, as officials, are trying to call fewer procedure penalties where the movement of the offensive lineman is slight. Previously, we had been directed that any movement whatsoever by the offensive lineman constituted procedure. He had to be absolutely statuesque for 1 second prior to the snap. And now we are allowing a degree of movement by the lineman prior to the snap of the ball. You know, as long as we're not getting the defense reacting to it and coming in, coming into the neutral zone, you know, we're better with that. So, you know, I think overall, the flow of the game is improved. The length of the game is down, I think, about a minute on average right now. Fewer interruptions with challenges, which is a very positive thing. We're now building the challenges into the commercials so that the coach has 30 seconds from the commencement of the commercial to make a decision and get his flag on the ground, or he cannot challenge the previous play. And our object is to, if he challenges, to get the challenge dealt with and be ready to come back as soon as the commercial is over, come back, announce, and carry on.
As officials, are they finding this allows them to stay in the game better because there's fewer stoppages?
I would have to answer yes, because as an official, flow is important. Games that are moving along smartly are easiest to officiate because it's real simple to stay in the ball game and just keep your adrenaline going. If you're constantly being interrupted, it's like playing behind somebody that wants to play a 6 hour round of golf, and you're standing over your ball for a couple minutes before you hit it, and you know, by the time you get down to focus on your shot, it's in the trees. So it can really it can have a degree of impact on you. Yes.
Now, we got some text questions coming in, 10-12-60. You can always email us in our SLH inbox, gregor@tsn1260.ca. Hey, Jason, can you ask Bud if a shanked punt that does not cross the line of scrimmage is considered a dribble ball from the Central Alberta Football Officials Association?
No, that is a kick that fails to cross the line of scrimmage.
So what's a dribble ball?
A dribbled ball is a ball that is not in possession that is kicked by a player.
So not a punt, because there you're purposely allowed to kick it. Whereas if somebody fumbles the ball and now they're battling for it and it's kicked.
Yep.
Now, if it's kicked on purpose, that's a flag. But if it's kicked just because guys are and it bounces off their foot, is that?
No, there's nothing wrong with kicking the football. The game is called football. You can kick the ball forward. You can advance the ball forward as long as the person that first touches it from your team was behind you when you kicked it.
Oh, to recover. That's what it was.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you kick it upfield and you have a risk, because there's been a fumble, and now you kick the ball ahead, your receiver who's sitting at the 20-yard line, if you've kicked it from your 30 and you're going down on the offensive play, if they recovered, then it's a flag.
That's right.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay. Yeah, so it's people behind the line of scrimmage. So
There
you go, dribble ball. Which you do see that now and then, and often you find the players recover, and that's where the flag comes because it's the wrong guy recovered.
In fact, at practice, the players are talking about it, and the players are practicing it. You can hear from time to time if a ball is on the ground, kick the ball, and it'll allow that defensive lineman to get himself enough space so that maybe a half or a corner who's got the speed can get down there and pick it up and then take it to the house.
Now, you talked earlier about the special teams being down. I also think maybe because there's also fewer punts in games this year than there has been in previous years, because offense is up, right? Per game, and this is a pretty big number, per game from 2014 until now, in the total of the game, there's about 150 yards extra of offense in 2017 thus far than there was in 2014. That's a massive, and flags are down.
Yeah, flags are down. Now, so remember, 2014 was the year that we brought in the illegal contact change.
Mm-hmm.
And the governors directed at that time that we were trying to create more offense. The defensive coaches don't like it. The defensive halves don't like it about how we're calling the game. But clearly, fans like big plays. They like the passes. They like the points. They like the action. And it was accomplished. The objective was accomplished over a three-year period. 150 yards is significant. And, you know, you've seen some pretty exciting football so far this year. The number of games that have been settled within winner to loser 4 points is really significant. So, you know, I think we're on the right track here.
More text coming in. As a former minor football official, I was always taught not to call penalties that do not affect the play. Yet I repeatedly see in the CFL games the opposite happening. Why is that?
Good question. I don't have an answer.
So is that something you're seeing? Is that something
yes.
that needs to be fixed?
Yes.
So, and as an evaluator, when you see that and you talk to them, is it because, like, do you find some people just feel like, oh, geez, I don't know, I've went 50 snaps, I haven't thrown a flag, got to throw a flag?
I sure hope not. You know, so you're going to see more flags from the line of scrimmage guys than you're going to see from the deep side guys. That's just because of the position and what the guys are covering. But I know a lot of deep side guys who would love nothing more than to walk off the field without a single flag having been thrown by them during the game. They certainly don't feel anxious that, oh my God, we got to get a flag on the ground. I think some of it comes from experience. We're at this stage, we are working our new guys harder. Our prospects work at the beginning of the year. The ODP officials from the NFL worked up until just before last weekend. And so there are more officials on the field up to August that have fewer total games experience. And so that sometimes produces what we would call phantom flags. And it also produces missed calls.
So when you have a phantom flag, is that -2?
Yep.
Is -2 the worst you can get?
No, you can get a -4, but I'll tell you.
What's a -4?
A -4 would be where you've absolutely blown a call, a rule application. You've marked off the wrong yardage.
Okay.
You don't
given
see
one of those in a while?
No.
What about a -3?
No.
No. So -2.
-2.
So what about when the referee in that game in Toronto and Winnipeg, when Ricky Ray gets absolutely obliterated,
yep.
blatant headshot, and he clearly moved to the wrong. Is that just -1 or
no.
is that -2 because
two.
There's no flag and it's wrong position?
Yeah, it's 2.
Okay. And then is there +2s?
No.
Or is it only, you only get, so if you make the right call.
You get 0.
You get 0.
Yeah.
So, and which is interesting, and I say that because people, I find some now who want to, and like, I have no, human error is going to happen. I have no problem with it.
Hmm.
I expect it to happen because we see the players all the time. How many bad throws did Mike Riley make last game,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
How many drop balls have we seen from the Eskimo receivers? So that will happen. The officials then will score like, hey, a 93 or a 92 or something. Which means basically they might have only, in all of the calls they say, and there's 120 snaps on both sides of the ball.
Between 150 and 160.
150?
Yeah, there's 155.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
I
was just calling offensive
yeah.
ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so I forgot about the special team
yeah.
snap. So 150. Some of them, obviously, if it's just a running play, there's less chance maybe of an infraction. But either way, you could maybe have 5 flags or negatives in 150 snaps, like which
yeah.
really is pretty low.
Yeah, the games I did last weekend, I believe that I was on average about 7 errors a game. And if you consider 7 officials on the field and 150 plays, do the arithmetic, and that's less than 1% error, which, you know, I challenge anyone listening to this show. You know, are you 99% at your job? Are you 99% at your home? In your relationships, in your driving? No, we all make mistakes. So these guys are incredibly good. Mistakes are made. They're made on television in front of a national audience. It's embarrassing as hell. But, you know, they're out there. It's an incredibly fast game. I don't think people really appreciate the speed of our game. You have to stand on the field and see these athletes and how fast they move and how quickly things change to really get a grasp of how good the officiating is in this country. The relationship, the program that we've got going with the NFL right now really underlines just how good a job we've been doing in Canada at developing young professional football officials. Last weekend, there were 5 CFL staffers at camp down in Dallas with the NFL. They understand how good the officiating is in the CFL, and they send their guys here because of the speed of the game and how quickly things move for their officials to help them learn the passing game.
Yeah, I think it's something that people just repeat because there's a few people in the media who just repeat to say, oh, CFL officiating's bad all the time. Yeah. And one of them is my friend, Rod Peterson. I disagree all the time. I'm like, you think every call, your team's terrible. Just accept your team's terrible and don't blame the official. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Bye, always good to talk to you. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Absolutely.